Welcome to Real Women of Bastrop, where small town charm meets big time grit. I'm your host, Lindsay Kana, sixth generation Bastropian, realtor and community cheerleader. Around here, we're more than big hair. We're business owners, mamas, creatives, and quiet powerhouses. And this podcast, well, it's pulling back the curtain on the stories, struggles, and strength of the women who keep this town running. Because every woman has a story, and around here, we believe yours matters. Let's get into it. Let's start out with, well, so I met you, Annie, I think we met first at the bachelorette party.
At Sarah's bachelorette party. In Fort Worth.
Which we probably won't talk about.
It was a good time, girl. You were headed in, I was headed out. That was the first time I'd ever met you, but I'd heard such great things about you from Sarah.
Yeah, so. Sarah's great, and she's going to be on, I've roped her in, of course, and she will be on a podcast episode soon. But yeah, same. She spoke very highly of you, and she's like, you know, Annie's a powerhouse, and she's doing great things. And so I was excited to meet you, even if it was briefly. But now I get to see you more because you are downtown, and so see you around. But how did you land in Bastrop?
So I am from Lockhart, Texas, originally. That's my hometown. My husband's from Smithville and works on a ranch now in Rozanke.
Okay.
He's a guide. He's a ranch hand and a guide. So we live on the ranch that he works on. And so that's essentially, since we've been married, we've pretty much been here.
Yeah. That's awesome. I did not know that y'all lived on the ranch. That he worked on.
It's a phenomenal place to raise children.
Yeah.
Sure. So we don't have any neighbors. They can just run wild and feral.
Yeah. I love it. That's how we're on an acre over here in Bastrop, but it connects to my husband's grandmother's land, which I don't know how many acres she has, but it's large. And so the girls will just jump on the golf cart and run over and see her and run around.
So
and
it's sweet.
It just makes a big difference, though, just having land to like for kids to run and not have to worry about streets and cars. And they entertain themselves.
It's that adventure piece, you know, where they can just get out and run. They, a few weeks ago, they built a, they were in the back. We're on like a little 10 acre piece and they were in the back and they built this like brigade thing and they were sitting behind it. They had the BB gun and were shooting birds. I mean, trying to shoot birds, let's be honest. They weren't being very successful, but I'm like, okay, they couldn't do that in town, you know?
No, definitely not. How many kiddos do you have?
Two.
Yeah. Okay.
So a boy and a girl.
Yeah. And yours are under like, they're not teenage years yet.
No, 7 and 9. We're still, well, Alice's birthday is actually tomorrow.
Aww.
So she'll be turning 8 tomorrow.
Aww. But
they're really sweet.
That's a fun
year apart in school.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, so tell me a little about the finance world. Were you always drawn to it, or did you land in mortgage lending?
So I actually started my career in orthopedic medical sales. So I was in orthopedic medical sales for 8 years. Loved it.
Yeah.
Was good at it, not meaning that arrogantly, but I just loved the people I worked with. They became family, you know. Mm-hmm. And my territory was Austin. And so around the time, so this was right before COVID hit. We were living in Lexington at the time. So we're in Rozanke now. My husband's worked for the same family for the last, I think it's like 13, 14 years. They moved us to Lexington for a short stint of time. And when we were in Lexington, we became members of this really wonderful church in Lexington. And I had always identified as a Christian. But I say wholeheartedly, that's where I became, like, where I was saved and came to know Jesus. Yeah. Was at this church in Lexington. Just really wonderful experience. And so I'm going through this time where I'm just like on fire for the Lord. I had just gotten saved and I felt God calling me into something different. I didn't know what it was. So I prayed on it it was like a year and a half. I mean, like, looking back through my journals, it's like, hey, you're calling me to something else. What are you calling me to? I want to be obedient to your calling. And I thought it was going to be a management position or changing medical device companies. I had no idea.
Sure.
Girl, he started opening the door. So this was one of my friends in Colorado. She actually used to be my manager for one of the medical device companies. And she called me and she was like, hey, there's a lot of women on my street that are loan originators. I think you'd be really great at it. And this was like in December of 2020?
2020, yeah.
So this was December of 2019. She told me this. And I was like, no, Shannon, I am praying on God is sending me into something else. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to be obedient to that. I'm just sitting on it and praying on it. She's like, okay. And then January of 2020, I was at national sales meeting in Florida with a group of girls that I worked with, the Abilene rep and another Austin rep. Abilene rep just out of nowhere was like, Annie, you'd be an amazing loan originator. I was like, what made you say that? You know, she said, oh, that's what my husband does up in Abilene. I think he'd be really great at it. And at that point, you know, you're kind of like, and they didn't say loan officer, they said loan originator, you know, which there is a difference, which I didn't know at the time. Well, it happened a third time. So I used to go into people's homes and set them up with devices. And one of my sweet patients, I was in their home, was like the next month, they said the same thing. And at that point, I was like, okay, I think this is what you're calling me into, but I do not want to do it.
You're like, how am I going to do this? I don't want to do it.
I worked at a bank right out of college, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I did not enjoy working at a bank. I was like, I am not going, this is what you're calling me to?
No.
I don't want to. So, but then I started doing research and realized that loan originating is different than being a loan officer.
How is it different?
So a loan officer works in a bank. Typically a bank, like a banking institution, and is like 8 to 5, and they don't have to have their originator license. So I actually have a certification and I'm a broker. So I'm independent. And I originate the loans.
You can go find the best deal, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I started taking the classes. COVID hit. Wow. COVID hit. I started taking the classes. I was at home with the kids and it's all downhill from there, girl. Wow. It's not what I would have ever chosen for myself, but it is 100% where I'm supposed to be. And I am in love with what I do. I love what I do.
Yeah. I love that you journal too and look back and like see. I think it is so important. I used to journal and I stopped. And that's one thing that's on my list to do, because you realize so much about yourself going back, right? And reading and thinking, oh, wow. And I think it allows you to give yourself grace too going forward, because you see, you know, all the things you went through and how you, you know, conquered some things or not, and then learn from that throughout your life. So that's
one. I love that perspective so much. I would agree with you 100%. I think it also allows us to see how we've grown and changed, you know, and the prayers that have been answered and the prayers that haven't been answered, you know, and or the ones that haven't been answered and you know why now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I also haven't been good at journaling the last few years. So I need to get back into it 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's great. I love that story. And I love that you pushed through and listened.
Took some prodding, I'm not going to lie. At one point, I think God was like, okay, I don't know how else to give it to you. Like, I've given it to you in this neon
that
sign. And I'm
crazy,
like,
that three different people. But maybe just one more person.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. Well, let's dive into some different topics and things. So if you could, some kind of fun questions. If you could have dinner with any woman, dead or alive, who would it be?
Alive?
Dead or alive. Any woman who has passed or is still here.
Oh, that's easy. Knee jerk. Would be my mom.
Aw.
So my mom passed away when I was in a sophomore in high school.
Oh, wow.
She had cancer. She was diagnosed with cancer when I was in fifth grade. And she was really sick for a really long time. So a lot of my time with her was very like not tumultuous in the sense of like, she was just very sick. Right. Yeah. And it was kind of like in and out of doctor's appointments and things like that. I'm going right now. This is like probably TMI, but I guess that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
I'm going through this counseling journey right now where realizing that a lot of my childhood I don't remember, and our brain naturally does that in order to protect ourselves from trauma. Mm-hmm. And my brain just so happened to pretty much like black out my entire childhood. So there is a lot from my childhood all the way up until like college-ish that I don't remember.
Wow.
And, you know, I had this moment in counseling a few weeks ago where I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I, in my brain protecting itself, I really didn't get to experience my mom at all because I, even the good times when she wasn't sick, I can't remember any of it.
Wow.
And so I honestly just to sit with her and know who she was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think it would be pretty cool.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry, but I'm glad you're going through counseling and discovering some of those things. That's got to be hard, but also very powerful to confront that and deal with it.
Yeah. Where I'm at in life is honestly the most joyful that I've ever been in my entire life. Oh, and I have healed from her passing and from her illness. There's so much peace in that. And I 100% have faith and am comforted in knowing it all happened for a reason. And so there's no sadness. Like when I say I want to see her, there's no sadness. It's a really good feeling. I think that's how you know, like you've healed from it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I just got chills. I love that. Well, what is something that your younger self would be shocked to see you doing now? And I think it's probably lending.
100%.
Based on
my younger self would be like, oh, girl, I do nothing. Finance, huh? Okay. Yeah. No,
it's like, else? Did you always want to have kiddos and be married, or was that a later life decision, or did you know from pretty young on you wanted to have kids?
I knew from a younger age that I wanted to have kiddos. I grew up in a really big family, and okay. So we were all really close, like brothers. My dad's from a big family, my mom's from a big family, and then I had all the little cousins, you know,
yeah.
And we were all very close. And so I knew from, you know, since childhood, I always wanted to have kiddos.
Yeah.
What about you?
So, well, yeah, when I was younger, I wanted to have two kids, a boy and a girl, by the time I was 25.
Yeah.
I had all these things, right?
Yes,
I had a planner,
for sure.
And I had a calendar. Like, I was very, like, focused on the goal, right? And in my head, I made up all these things that I should have at certain ages. Well, as soon as that first one didn't happen, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, let's just see what happens. But no, I always knew I wanted to have kids, too. Now I have three girls, so not a boy and a girl. And it came, I had my first at 30, then 35, and then 42. So that would never be part of the plan to have a kid at 42. So yeah, definitely shocked at my own life right now.
I think I would die, Lindsay. Like I'm 37 right now and I'm like, there is no way I could have a baby right now. Like it's exhausting.
I don't know, but it's exhausting. Well, so it's very different when you have one later in life, just because my first two girls, like the first one's always like, she was a perfect angel type A, like, but we were always so worried, like, oh my gosh, she's coughing. We need to get her to the ER. Just paranoid about everything. I was reading all the books. So that was like my experience with my first one, just worried and very focused on her. Second one, middle child, Kendall Rose, she is like a...
That second one, girl.
I don't know.
Let me tell you,
that
second one gives
her.
You a run for your money.
Oh, she's just, so we were, okay, this is happening. Little tornado has joined us and just constantly like, oh, what's going on? And then like at 42, you know, when we had Collins, like I knew now, like this is for sure my last one, like done for sure. So I'm like, okay, this is our last one. We know how fast it goes. Like our oldest is now about to be 15. You just are so much more in the moment, right? And like soaking it all in and really like, not in an overprotective way, but just enjoying like waking up, because she sleeps with us. Waking up and looking at her and you're like, oh my God, I don't know. It's just a different feeling and it's so special. And I was totally scared when I found out, like so scared. Like I prayed a lot. And even my husband was like, what is, we're old. I'm like, oh no, we're not. So, but now it's just amazing. It really is. So I think it, obviously it's what God wanted and it's a blessing. Yeah.
An amazing perspective though, right?
Yeah.
Because I mean the older, wiser generation will tell you, like, stop, these are the best times of your life.
Yeah.
But we're in this like everything has to get done. We have to be the
rush
best wife, mm-hmm. the best mom, the best like professional, whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
It seems that that really takes precedent over being present.
Present. Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's important.
That is such
okay,
a gift.
Okay, lady. You're right. Yeah, that's important.
That is such
okay,
a gift.
Okay, lady. Okay, we're going to finish up with a rapid fire lightning round. Have you done that before? Where it's like, okay.
I'm not good at improv. So
Oh, no. Okay.
It's going to be really interesting.
I'm just going to ask you some like this or that questions. It's like this or that, like coffee or tea, and then you just go with it.
Okay, okay, I love it.
You got it.
Ready.
Okay, so coffee or tea?
Tea.
Yeah.
Me too.
Heels or sneakers?
Sneakers.
Yeah.
Sneakers.
Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird, unless my ADD gets the best of me and I'm scrolling. I'm way too late and I feel it the next day.
Love it. Love it. Okay. What's your most used emoji?
Oh, what the?
Oh, the heart?
With the hands.
Oh, the hand heart. Okay.
The hand heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
because
that
it's
one
like,
too.
It shows people like,
yeah.
You know, you feel the emotions or the emojis, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's like yours?
That. Mine is probably the crying laughing one. I probably use that all the time because my husband is constantly texting me random. It's either that or the middle finger. You're either getting a laughing or a big middle finger emoji today.
That is awesome. That is so sweet, though. I love yeah. Like, now that I think about it, I don't think I send my husband emojis at all. But he's very, like... No, my husband is very... I'm very outgoing. He is very...
Quiet?
So quiet.
Oh, interesting.
Very introspective. He'll stand in a corner and kind of like watch everybody.
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
So my husband, we're very different personalities, kind of. I mean, he would be happy staying home and not going to any events and not hanging out with anyone. I have to, if I meet someone new, he's like, we're not making new friends. Like, stop.
That is
she
so
has
good.
This great husband. He's like, Lindsay, no. But once I get him out of the house and if we go to an event, he has the best time and he finds people he knows, right? And talks to them. But it's hard to get him out. I will say that.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that needs to be out. I like people. I like to be around people. I feed off their energy.
You're so good at it too.
Oh, well, thank you. It's just natural. I just love it. I love people and learning about them. So
where you thrive.
Yeah. Okay, any irrational fears?
Oh, this is dark. My kids getting abducted.
Yeah. No, that
I mean,
I feel like that's every mom at some point. You're like, yeah.
Like child trafficking.
Yes.
I'm like,
it's terrifying.
You can't go. And I'm not a hover mother at all.
Yeah.
I am not a hover mother. It's just when we're in public places.
Yeah. I know.
Stay right here.
On alert. On alert.
Yes. For sure.
That's more rational. That's more rational than mine. Mine is, well, two of mine. Mine is roundabouts, you know, in the car.
Oh,
like, you know,
yes.
I can't.
You're afraid of getting stuck in there infinitely?
Off. Like there's, and the cars are coming everywhere. I just freeze up and I literally, I feel like I'm frozen. I'm just going to keep going in circles. I hate them.
Oh
I hate
my
them. That and yeah. Birds, like birds are. They're always flying at my head, though. I've had people witness that one. So they're always in my windshield or flying at my head. It's a weird thing.
Why, I wonder?
I don't know.
That's insane.
I know. I'm sure I'll be fine. No birds will attack me, but we'll see.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to happen today. It's going to happen this afternoon. We, like, jinxed you.
I'm going to send you a message. Oh, it was just attacked. No. Okay. Well, okay. Last one. Finish this sentence. Bastrop women are
so supportive of each other.
Oh, I love
that. It is an amazing community.
Yeah.
I am very blessed to be a part of it. So I came from medical sales where I had a different personality than a lot of the other sales reps. It's kind of like, hey, there's enough business for all of us and let's support each other. And that's just not what you get met with in that environment. I mean, it's like very cutthroat. Very cutthroat. So coming in, you know, pivoting into mortgage lending and then being embraced by the title companies, the realtors, and everyone just wanting to take you under their wing and be like, hey, how can I help you? What can I do to see you grow, to see you thrive? What information are you needing? What are you struggling with? I mean, authenticity, it's just the women are so genuine. I feel like in our community, and I may be biased. I mean, you tell me. I feel like it is very genuine.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree. There's more support here than not. And, you know, I think, you know, that's one reason I wanted to do this podcast is because, you know, you will come across some people and they're like, oh, so-and-so, they're just not supportive. They don't like me, or that, you know, they have some kind of preconception about a certain some people or women in this town. And I think it's important to shed light on the fact that, you know, we can be different and we can disagree, but we still have more things, you know, in common with each other than not. And the more we can highlight those similarities and what we're going through and talk about that, it'll just bring us closer together. So that's really the point of this whole podcast. So yeah, I'm glad you said that.
Well, and speaking into that, what you just said, I think coming from the industry that I did, mm-hmm. your barriers are automatically up. Like, mm-hmm. hey, people, you know, their intention is not to help me. There's you kind of go into it jaded, thinking yeah. they're going to talk about me or they don't like me, kind of like what you were saying. And I have experience where I've done that, you know, like mm-hmm. this person doesn't like sure. me or they're being rude. And having a group of women around you that are like, hey, no, that's yeah. not that at all. That may just be their personality, or hey, they're going through a hard time. Yep. I feel like this group of women is really good about like shedding light and truth into you versus just kind of like feeding that demon. If mm-hmm. that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
So, totally. Yeah. They just want to make you better, which mm-hmm. is a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. Awesome. Well, lady, thank you so much. I could talk to you forever. We need to like schedule a lunch or something soon.
And just we 100% do.
Yeah, we'll hang soon for sure.
Awesome, girl. Well, thank you so much. I wish you all the best in this.
Anyone?
So good, girl.
Okay. Well,
good
I
job.
Will talk to you soon. Have a good day. Thank you all for right, doing this.
All right,
you too.
This.
Bye.
Okay,
bye. That's it for this episode of Real Women of Bastrop. If today's story moved you, made you laugh, or reminded you of the power of community, share it with a friend and please leave us a quick review. It helps more people find these stories and the women behind them.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.